side A. Please take your Bible, turn to Psalm 81. Psalm 81. The Bible says, to the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm of Asaph. Sing aloud unto God our strength, make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow upon the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed on our solemn feast, a feast day. For this was a statute for Israel and a law of God, of the God of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. I removed his shoulder from the burden, his hands were delivered from the pots. Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah, Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee. O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me, there shall no strange God be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange God. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own hearts' lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of wheat, and with the honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word of God that once again, points us to you, shows us who you are, shows us your provision, your position in our lives, how you desire for us to follow, to obey, simply obey. And then, Lord, how you provide and protect, and you precede us as we go forth, if we'll just surrender to you and submit to you. And I pray that tonight we would see the lesson from this song that that Asaph wrote by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God to remind us, as you reminded the children of Israel, that submitting to you is not an option, that it's something that we're to do because you have our best interest in mind. I pray that we would learn from that tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This psalm is written and is an observation by Asaph, and he's saying, turn on your mic. There you go. That's awesome. Hey, imagine that. It's a psalm written by Asaph that evidently has to do with the judgment that has come, and it's really his observation of what the children of Israel were told, and what God wanted to do. And so he uses God in the first person there by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So it is truly God speaking to us, saying, this is what I wanted to do, but I couldn't. So the bulk of the psalm is really pointing us to submission, to submitting to God and why we should submit. So he begins there with the right heart that should be in us, and that's to sing aloud unto God our strength, make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob, take a psalm, bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery, blow upon the trumpet in the new moon and the time appointed on our solemn feast day. So he sets the tone by saying God had put things in place to remind them that he had their best interest in mind. That's all he ever had. His thoughts toward them were only for good. He never gave them the law to prohibit them. It was to protect them. Just like you would do as a father and mother for a child, you don't want to
to stunt their growth. You're trying to get it so they'll live long enough to grow. So you say, stay away from the street. And then you punish and you bring in, you chastise, you teach, you train. And then if you need to, you dispense discipline. That's exactly the way that it's supposed to work. Well, that's what God had done. And we know this when we read the Old Testament. We see over and over God says to his people, I came to you betimes. I brought to you prophets. In fact, at the end of 2 Chronicles, the Bible goes through the whole part of prophecy. I brought prophets. I brought troubles. I delivered you. I did miracles. And still, you would not listen. Jesus would cry and say, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered thee together as a hen gathereth her chicks, and ye would not. So God was always reaching out to them. And you can know this. This is something we can learn about God. He's never drawing back from you. It's we that draw back from him. So he reminded them in the feast. They were to blow the trumpet. The trumpet was to call them to worship, to remind them. When we come and we sing and we praise God, it's reminding us who God is. In verse number 4, for this was a statute for Israel and a law of God, of the God of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony. When he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not, I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pots. God had given them an example in Egypt that they were to follow. And we've looked at that in the past three Psalms now, where Asaph, who is a great historian and tries to reckon history with the present, is once again, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, doing that and reminding them that God had put in place evidences that he had only their good in mind. That's all he ever had. So he put in place something that would help them to see. Verse 7, thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah. Selah, go over to Exodus chapter number 17. So when we read this, sometimes get a different picture of this. But this is actually what God is saying about Exodus chapter number 17. So we begin reading verse number 1. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. So in the first four verses, we see a much different picture than what the children of Israel are even, what they're doing. God said, so I brought you to the waters of Meribah, not to make you think about Egypt, but to check to see if you were going to trust me. Were you going to cry out to me? What were you going to do? Moses said, well, they're about to stone me, God. They've come to me. They're chiding against me. And the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people. Take with thee of the elders of Israel and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river. Take it in thy hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? And God says about that very occasion here in this psalm, I brought you there to cause you to call upon me. Remember, you called upon me when you were in Egypt, and I heard you, and I delivered you. That is the reason for the Passover, which I gave to you, which he mentions in the previous verses. So the Passover should prove to you, every time you perform it, every time you observe it, you should observe that I cared about you. So you get to a place where you have no water, and I'm proving you just water. Like I can't do water. That's his mindset. So I delivered you out of the hands of Egypt. I delivered you from the burden of being a slave. I delivered you, and I gave you a memorial, the Passover, to remind you that I was going to come, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and you were going to come out with a mighty hand. You came out with a mighty hand, and you get to Meribah, and I'm proving you to see what will they do. Now, he wasn't proving them because he didn't know what they were going to do. He was proving them because he knew this time was coming. Think about difficulties you and I go through, and sometimes God has delivered us through major trials, and now something small begins to happen, and it's like God can't do it. I mean, if it's cancer, we're going to trust God. If it's an ingrown toenail, I don't know if I can trust God. I mean, that's the comparison from water to being prisoners and servants in the land of Egypt with no hope of delivering themselves. And so God said, I brought you there to prove you. And what happened? Well, they failed, because they failed all throughout the wilderness journeys. They failed when they got the first time. And he rehearses this, as we've already seen. So he's using history to say, you're looking at God the wrong way. You're making God something that his ways, his obedience to him, you're making him something that you should not. You're trifling with God, and there's a reason why he does what he does. And I don't know of a better way to explain it or say it than to say this, that God cares about us way more than we even care about ourselves. And that's what he's trying to prove to them. He tried to prove it over and over and over. So when the Bible says flee youthful lust, what is God saying? Flee youthful lust. Why? It'll be good for you. Forgive, as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Why forgive? Because it'll be good for you. Children, obey your parents. Why? Because it is good for you. Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Why? Because it'll be good for you. Everything in the Bible is good for you. It's God saying, this will be good for you. Why go to church? Because the Bible says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Why? Because it will be good for you. Bring the tithes into the storehouse. Why? Because it will be good for you. Everything God directs us to do is good for us. That's what he's saying to them. In fact, he now begins to speak in verse number 8 and says, hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. So here's their problem. They wouldn't hearken. The word hearken means to hear with the intent to listen. That's a big deal, because some of you hear right now, and my lilting voice is lulling you to sleep. I know. I watch golf. I hear them, he's lining up over the putt. And all I hear is, then suddenly I hear, who's breathing in here? Because I am not listening. Have you ever talked to your child and looked in their face and you knew they weren't listening? Can you believe a preacher can look and see where people are listening and people were not? You go, well, don't point anybody out. No, I dare not do that, because I would have been pointed out almost every service I sat in. You listen, there's a big difference between hearkening and knowing what God said. Have you ever had anybody say this? Well, I know what the Bible says. Then why aren't you doing it? You know why? Because you didn't hearken to it. You may know, but you're not listening. So he says, if you'll hearken unto me, I want to tell you something. There shall no strange God be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange God. So some wiseacre asks this, why? I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. And one of my favorite things to do, I even used to do this as a kid, is catch worms, crush them up, bump the nest of a baby birds, crush up those worms and drop them in their mouth. That was my favorite thing to do. You know why? Because they go. Do you see what God is saying? Hearken unto me, listen to me, and get ready because I want to give you things that I can give you that you can't gain on your own. Only I can satisfy you the way you need to be satisfied. Open your mouth wide. People say, I don't get anything when I come to church. Open your mouth wide. I don't get anything reading my Bible. Open your mouth wide and hearken unto the Lord. Listen with intent. What? To have Him feed you. Remember, we went through the psalm where He talked about He gave us, we ate angels' food. And still, all we did was complain. Well, God said, I'm the God who's led you out of the land of Egypt. I want to feed you. I want to provide for you. I want you to hearken unto the law. I want you not to have any other gods, because those gods, all they did was mislead the people in the land. And He told them time after time, those gods are the reason those people are being cast out of the land. Because the gods that they falsely worshiped caused, they permitted themselves to do anything they thought was right in their own eyes. Just like the children of Israel did in Judges. So now they're being punished, and God says, I had a plan. My plan was that you would hearken so that I could protect you, so that I could precede you, and so I could provide for you something that you do, things that you cannot do for yourself. If you'll let me do it, I want to do it. He said over and over to them, if you'll just do these things in the land, you'll have longevity. You'll stay there. He said it over and over. Now he's reminding them what He said in Exodus 19. I am the Lord thy God, which led thee out of the land of Egypt. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. He said, there shall no strange god be in thee. Neither shalt thou worship any strange god. He gives them an ultimatum. Note here that he's not going through the other commandments. He's starting with the first one because they didn't even keep that one. There's so many of us, as we progress in our Christian life, we begin to think of ourselves as having accomplished things. When do you know that God's purpose for you as a believer is that you begin to change at salvation and you do not change until you're not breathing? And yet we get to a point where we think we've made it. And so we get lax in coming to church. We get lax in hearkening to the Scriptures. We get lax in doing exactly what the Bible gives us to do. Coming to church, singing, celebrating, being committed to the work that needs to be accomplished, being a participant, being thankful, being holy as God is holy. We begin to separate ourselves from that because we can't hearken to the first thing. He's the one who saved us. Why would we have strange gods in our lives? Why would we allow things in our lives that are there? Why do we allow thinking to creep in that's not biblical? That's why the New Testament, especially when in Paul's writing, is full of doctrine. Why? Doctrine protects. It's what God has set forth in the church to protect. What He did for the children of Israel is set forth the law to protect them. And they responded to it like, God's just keeping us from what we want to do. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. See, God gave them a directive, as He's given us. God gave them an example, a reminder, if you will, in the scriptures of in their feasts, why they should do what they're doing. But in verse number 11, the Bible says, "But although I had all of this for my people, they would not hearken to me." So what we find out here in the last part of this psalm is why we or these people here, the children of Israel, would suffer and struggle through life or end up being chastised as they were. Why would that happen? If God's intent is always good for us, why do these things happen? Well, he said, "My people wouldn't hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up into their own hearts' lust, and they walked in their own counsels." Now God said, I want you to hear me. I want to go before you. I went before you in the secret place. I led you to Meribah. I wanted you to hearken unto me, but you would not. You didn't want anything to do with me. You thought, well, in the today's vernacular, you could say it like this, just like a teenager would say to their parents, "You have no idea what it's like to be a teenager." Because that's what teenagers say. Or, "You have no idea what it's like to be alive in 2023. Am I breathing? You have no idea the pressure I'm under with peer pressure and all of these things." Well, that's a... So whatever I say then is of no value. That's what God's saying. Everything I said was of no value to you. You would have nothing to do with me. He says, "You walked in your own heart's lusts. You just went the way you wanted to go. You walked in your own counsel." Do you know, this is very interesting to me, the word precede. So when I was studying this, the word immediately came to me that God preceded them. That's what prevent means. That's what he said in the 79th Psalm, "Go before us." Well, God wanted to go before them. In fact, he did go before them with a cloud of by day and a pillar of fire by night. And they followed him as long as he was there. When they got into the land, they followed him as long as Joshua and his crew were alive. But after that, because there was no king in the land or someone to tell them what to do, they did that which was right in their own eyes. You know what that means? They followed their own heart's lusts. So they chose to follow their... So we say, well, we're so far removed from Jesus being on earth, and it's very hard to follow. Come on, this is what religion is today. People that were once followers of God say now, I'm talking about people that it's shocking to me, the people that Twyla and I went to school with, that Twyla and I knew back in the day at different churches that we've been to, what their attitude is now about life. I'm okay to drink. I'm okay to let my kids do whatever. I'm okay to act like this. I'm okay to be this person. And when you were around them before, they weren't okay with that. Well, what changed? Well, nobody's telling them what to do exactly because they stopped hearkening to God. So here's what happens. You start following your heart's lust. Here's what happens. You start walking in your own counsel. Your own counsel, it's real simple to explain. It sounds like a good idea until you start getting about halfway through it, and then you recognize that was the dumbest thing you've ever done. That's your own counsel. And you look back as a 60-year-old, and you go, that was my own counsel. 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 When I should have been looking at it then, I can look back now and hindsight's 20/20. I know exactly what's wrong with me. Why? Well, because I came on this path and I know where my own counsel led me. God says, when you're walking in at your own heart's lusts and you are walking in your own counsel, you are not listening to me. You know why? Because our own counsel and our heart's lust do not line up with anything in this. That's why it's always amazing to me when a girl or a boy says, "I love her, I love him." and they're, you know, 12, 13, 14, sometimes in their 20s. And you want to say, you have no idea. You have no idea what you're... Why would you love somebody that would tell you to disobey your parents? Well, you don't understand. No. I'm sorry. The Bible says to honor your father and mother. There's no deadline on that. When they're dead, you still should honor their memory. Think about it. What happens? I start getting my own desires from my heart. I start getting my own counsel. Pretty soon, I'm the smartest guy in the room. But all of my own counsel is actually not wise at all. So, the next thing he says there, I could no longer precede you because I couldn't lead you anymore. The next thing he says is, oh, that my people had hearkened unto me and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. Now, because you wouldn't submit, there's no protection. You move away from my protection and I can't protect you. Listen, Christian, you start walking in your own heart's lust and you start walking in your own counsel and you're walking away from the protection of God. You're walking away from it. Now, God's not walking away from you. Thank God he protects us in spite of ourselves quite a bit. Nonetheless, you're still walking away from it because the more you walk away, the more you're opening yourself up for attack where you're not going to be able to recover from it like we looked at this morning. And the fact of the matter is, what you need is a mind change. That your own counsel and your own heart's lust have kept you from getting God's best. Not God's mediocre. And we settle for mediocre. God said, if you would have followed me, I would have protected you from your adversaries. But you decided not to. So I couldn't. Because you didn't obey. Submission to God's plan and His word is not optional. You don't get to think your way out of it or make excuses for it. Unfortunately, most of us... not most of us, all of us. We're raised by parents that tried to do the best they could. You go, unfortunately, why? Well, because we often think of God doing the best he can, when actually God is always doing the best he can, because it is the only thing he can do, the best. Well, my mom and dad have been wrong. Yeah, but God's never been wrong. That's the point I'm trying to make before people start getting mad. Are you saying that? If there's a perfect parent, I would like to meet you because you need to write a book. So one of the kids said, no, I can't believe that. The Bible says, I don't know who it was. I'm not looking over there. The Bible says in verse number 15, the haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. If they just would have submitted to him, they would have endured forever. Do you know that's what he promised? He promised that to David. He promised that to Solomon. He promised that to Rehoboam. He promised that to Jeroboam, who took the ten tribes north. He said, if you'll just walk in my ways, you will have a wonderful life. And the children of Israel never did fall into that, like most Christians don't. We don't know the Word of God. We don't know what God wants for us. Some people are so oblivious to God's plan in the Scriptures that they have no idea. I didn't even know that was in the Bible. I'll say everything you look for in the Bible is there. And you don't have to make any of it up. And God said, if you would listen to it, you would have been blessed forever like I promised. I would have helped you with your future plans by preceding you. I would have provided for you. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with the honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. This harkens back to David. when God said to David about Bathsheba, you just did what you wanted to do. And you despised me and you despised my word. And to despise means to treat like garbage. And when you move away from God's plan, listen, He can't feed you. That's why we have so many empty Christians today. There's so much in the Bible. It's so rich. It's so wonderful. There's so much to learn there. But we won't hearken to the first thing about God, that He is the God that led us out of the captivity of sin. And He gave His only begotten Son. And we should not live unto ourselves. We should live unto Him. But we don't put Him in that position. Therefore, He cannot provide for us. He cannot precede us and take care of our future. He cannot even protect us, because He's only going to walk with those who will walk in the light, because in Him is no darkness at all. The chastisement and the judgment the children of Israel were going through was of their own making. God said that to them in Hosea. Here again in Psalm 81, He says it again. I had your very best interest in mind. My plan was the best direction for your life. I was ready to take care of you and provide for you. I was ready to help you in your future plans. I was ready to protect you from your enemies. But you would have none of me. When you hear people say then, why is God doing this? It's very simply this: a person who doesn't understand God. God doesn't do things to you. He's always thinking about the best thing for you. And just because it's uncomfortable doesn't mean it's wrong. So when you look at your life, and there may be no conviction here, this may just be a warning, but when you look at your life, would you say that you're experiencing the very best that God has? Are you experiencing the very best that you could work up in your life? Are you truly following God as He is the God which led you out of the bondage of sin, just like He led the children of Israel out of the bondage of Egypt? Would you say your plans are working, or would you say God's plans are working? Now, there's one last thing I'll say. Some in this room, or some may argue, and I would hope that it's nobody in this room, but some may argue, well, Brother Ron, that was for the Old Testament. That's the law. I really ask you to read 1 John chapter 1. Because God can only walk with you when you're walking with Him. He's not going to force you to walk with Him. He wants you to. He loves you. He's made you the son, the daughter, the very son and daughters of God. In fact, the Bible says this: He has made us kings and priests. Over and over in the book of Revelation, they're giving Him praise for making us kings and priests who are not even good paupers. And yet we are all, if you're saved in this room, a king and a priest. But do you know you can't have what a king and a priest has unless you follow God now? You will someday, not by your own, not on your own, not on your own good merit, but by the grace of God. But right now, you can have that life I'm not talking about some weird God providing every need you ever have, and all you have to do is name it and claim it. I'm talking about a life that is full of joy and peace and long-suffering and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. I'm telling you, God wants to just give that to you, but you can't do it without walking with Him. And that was the one thing the children of Israel would not submit to. He gave them His word, and they rejected it. How do you treat the word of God? Do you submit? You should know it's not optional. It's required. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around.